You're listening to the USEA official podcast, which takes you behind the scenes of eventing, covering all the big events, professional tips and tricks, interviews, special guests, and the latest USEA eventing news. Welcome to the USEA official podcast, episode 273, and we have got listeners for you another team talk episode. We are going to be talking all things US eventing team at the end of 2020, and of course what we have got to look forward to next year and beyond, I might say as well. And I'm delighted to welcome back to the show Jenny Autry, the USEF Managing Director of Eventing. Jenny, thank you very much for joining us.
Hello, thank you for having me.
I do love your hello on a show. It is good to have you with us, and we're looking forward to catching up on everything from a logistical perspective, but also with us all the way from New Zealand, Eric Duvander. Eric, thank you so much. And it's pretty early in the morning for you, I think, isn't it?
It's actually not. I still stay on a little bit of American time and wake up early in the morning. It's 8 o'clock in the morning, but I've been up for a few hours, so all good.
Oh, that's not too bad. That's not too bad. We've got quite the diverse recording time zones going on. We've got the UK, US and New Zealand as well. So we've managed to find a window, listeners, and I'm looking forward to getting to grips with everything that has been US eventing this year, because what a year it has been. I think if we'd have gone back to the start of 2020, as with everything this year, would not have expected this. But I think it's probably a good point, Eric, to kind of go back to the beginning of the year when hopes were really still high for Tokyo and for the Olympics and everything else like that. And then it all started to unravel pretty quickly at the end of March. But it was a first sort of major Olympics for you in charge of the US team. How excited were you at the start of the year to get things going?
Well, it is a funny thing with you don't really get excited. I mean, you're really looking forward to championships and so on, but you don't really get excited because you know you need to get everything into place and do everything right and get all the riders and horses in the right place at the right time. And so it is an exciting project, but you never think like, oh my God, I'm excited, I'm going to the Olympic Games. It's more about a little bit of nerves and apprehension about are we going to get everything right. And I think we went into the beginning of the year and we felt pretty well organized and we had a good game plan of how everything was going to roll out. So there was a certain enough confidence in like how we'd set it up and so on. But then I still sort of had a little feeling that the Olympics in 2020 was a year too early for our team to be as good as they need to be. So there was still a lot of work to be done, and it was the first few months up until mid-March. I mean, we were working; everyone was working really hard, and you could see that the horses were improving and everything was stepping up. So, yeah, that was the pre-season until it all fell into a hole.
I know, and then this thing called coronavirus came along that we'd never heard of before. We all started to socially distance and everything else. And it all sort of changed, as we know. Jenny, from a sort of a mental perspective, obviously, logistically, Eric's kind of touched upon it there. Getting to a major championship such as the Olympics is an absolutely mammoth effort from a lot of people. How tough was it to all of a sudden be plunged into this kind of uncertainty of will they, won't they happen? You know, at this point in April sort of time, there was very much a moving beast as to what could potentially be the outcome. How hard was that?
Honestly, we didn't have a choice but to just come up with plan B and then plan C and D, and it just kept rolling on. And Eric and I are both good when we have a problem to tackle, and the whole year turned into a problem essentially. So we just going from one solution to the next. And like Eric said, I think the way it worked out for us with now having one more year to prepare for Tokyo really only ended up being a good thing in the end. So we try to stay extremely positive. And really all the riders have been that way as well, staying extremely positive and just taking the extra year to put their heads down and work harder and grind away. And now the plan is to come out firing on all cylinders for next year.
Yeah, and it's really interesting. We had Liz on the show as part of the keynote for the USEA virtual convention this year, which, listeners, if you haven't caught, you can go back and watch all of the presentations. They're all available on the website, useventing.com. Well worth a watch. And Liz in particular, you know, the mental strength shown of, do you know what, this thing has happened, it's out of our control, knuckle down, work hard. And actually that has paid dividends, and we'll talk about the results that have come out towards the end of the year. But Eric, were you quite impressed with some of the mental strength that was shown by riders, particularly in the early days when they really sort of actually dug deep and kind of, I suppose, changed all of their plans that they had such high hopes for?
I've been in the business for a long time, and the one thing is consistent that event riders are really resilient. I mean, we turn up at events all the time, and we just have to take the conditions as they are. So, you know, like it is a little bit ingrained in us to stay calm and just figure out as we're going along. I mean, even down to this last event we had in Tryon this just a few weeks ago, when we had this incredible downpour and it looked like you couldn't run an event, and everyone said, just hung back a little bit, the organizers as well as organizers, not just the riders but the organization as in eventing. It's a really resilient group of people all over the world, and they figure out a way to make it run. And so I think there was no one who actually really said more than bugger once or twice, but otherwise everyone just put their heads down and thought we talked about it as an opportunity to let's get better at what we do. Just train and get better technical skills and get the horses really humming and doing all the things that we wouldn't be able to do if we were in a competition mode, when horses have to gallop, they have to travel to events and so on. So we gained a lot of days of training by through this sort of scenario.
It's amazing, isn't it, actually, that positive mental attitude and the kind of the resilience that you talk about is so true in event riders, and very much something that I think we spoke about on some of the previous Team Talk episodes, whereby actually there's a lot of excitement building around the US camp at the moment. And as you've said, that extra year actually could end up being a huge positive, and certainly confidence is swelling going into next year. You touched upon it there with Tryon and organisers, and obviously logistically for yourselves, Jenny and Eric, it's been tricky for the whole team. But actually, another group of people that have really stepped up have been organisers of events all over the country, because from being in the early days of, well, we'll reschedule, we'll change this trial to here and that sort of thing, even through to Tryon, who put on the US National Championships at the end of the year, has been an absolutely incredible effort, hasn't it, Jenny?
It really has. And that's been a big part of what I've had to work on this year, is essentially rebuilding our entire calendar after we had so many event cancellations. And of course, it was absolutely critical that we end up being able to run a 4-star long, both on the East Coast and the West Coast at the end of the year, not just to provide qualification opportunities for the Tokyo Olympic Games in Kentucky next year, but also the selection trial in Tokyo. So it was definitely a massive team effort, and a huge thank you to Tryon and Galway Downs for running those 4-star longs. And we definitely had very exciting competition at both of them.
Yeah, they didn't just put on a competition. They put on a really, really top-class competition. A massive credit to both of them, because it's not an easy time to organise an event, and logistics of travelling and officials travelling, things like that actually make it really quite tough. I suppose the culmination with Galway Downs and with Tryon at the end of the year, Eric, was then followed on by the announcement of the new elite list and the training list. Tell us a bit about those, because it has been a real sort of work in progress, and very much something that has a long-term aim about it as well, isn't it?
Yeah, no, for sure. But I just want to go back to the previous comments around when the sport started up again. And it is funny though, like everyone is in the sport. It's just pure passion. And I mean, you see, when I ran into the officials and stewards and volunteers, and they're all thrilled to get out of the house and back out there and starting up the events and being out and amongst it. So the vibe was really good. And that's why I think also that's why we can make things happen in our sport, because everyone within the sport has a really good spirit, and everyone wants to run good events and have a good time. So that's a real positive. Yeah. Then it came to the end of the year, and we had to, selection is always tough. I think selection is, it is tough on riders. It's tough on for training and lists and so on, because people want to be part of it. And And it's been, I'm a great believer in that training list. It's not an award for you've done well this year. It is actually, should be something that drives performance, and it should, people that come on the training list, the pressure should be on them that now you have to really step up. So there's a bit of a philosophy around what a training list should be like and what it should function like and what it should look like. And we were just talking about it this year about we're being critiqued a little bit, like how can you have an elite squad and you only have two on them? And we've had only two riders on it for a while. And it is, in my opinion, we just have to stick to our standards, and we can obviously put four in and six in and eight in the elite group. But I think the same thing, you have to earn that position and put everything into play so you are a believable combination for future events. And then we have pre-elite where we're still developing the skills and developing the horses or riders and combinations for future championships. They might not be the next championship, but they're following after that. So it's... But I think the one thing that was exciting this year, I think it was multiple things. First of all, that we had a big break, and a lot of riders really utilized this time to improve their skills and upskill, basically. Then I think the second thing was that we had a great meadow, like one of our first proper big competitions. We had 70 starters, like nearly everyone tried to go there. And that competition of having 70 starters in the class, it just... made people, they had to be very good at the dressage. You had to jump a clear round the show jumping. They had to put their foot down and go fast cross country. And I think that is a real driver, having that type of competition, because it's easy for riders to spread themselves out a little bit thin. You have like 30 starters here and 30 starters here, and you can win a class without actually having to really be under pressure. But the same thing happened again at Unionville, and then and obviously at Tryon, when we had over 80 horses in the class, and it became a real driver. Like to win that class was difficult, and the riders had to be really on it. So it's been quite a few riders stepping up, and it's excellent. We totally believe that Liz Halliday has had a fantastic year. She certainly has put in the work as well, and she's now on the elite list and joining Philip and Boyd. And Doug Payne has been incredibly consistent this year as well with his Vendiver, but he's also got a really nice team of horses coming up from behind, so he's out there and performing well. But the other highlights has been, we have this training list, and it's the trick with it, especially here in America, is to how do we capture everyone? How do we see and make sure that we've actually haven't missed anyone? So we have obviously started the Future Challenge, and that is a way that people can apply, anyone can apply, and then we get them assessed, and then they can join in. And if they don't get in the first year, they might get in the second year, and so on. It's a way to get into our training list. And obviously, same thing with the U25, you apply and then you go through an assessment and so on. So there is like ways, and it's not just down to the selectors or for me and the advisory group to just look at who's talented. We got ways for all riders. And looking at the list, train list, how I believe it is functioning, or the proof it is functioning, like for example, like only a couple of years ago, Aero Growl and Sydney Elliott, they came in on board. First time I met them were at these Future Challenge competitions, and to know them, and then we thought they were good, very good, so they got into the development squad, now they're in the pre-elite, and it's only a few years out, and they've certainly done the work to get into that position, and their performance has been good. But there is a pathway, and we have our pathway that is working. So from bottom to top, I think it's showing that we are getting it at the right place, and it's sort of gelling.
I mean, it's a really positive feeling, actually, going into the next sort of championship cycle, because obviously Tokyo we hope 2021, then there'll be a World Equestrian Games in 22, and Paris will come up in 24 very quickly. So actually, when you're looking at the next 4 years, and I know you guys are already looking beyond to LA 28, actually it is very much a long-term game. And yes, you want medals short-term, but it is very much a case of, okay, building it for the future. Jenny, can I ask you, I know Eric's touched upon his highlight there. Has there been a highlight for you in 2020? I'd like to focus on the positives.
Definitely, focus on the positives. I think, like Eric said, we saw the fruits of months of dedicated homework when competition shut down, coming out at big events like Great Meadow, where we had these huge fields, much bigger than we would normally have in the US, just because the lack of competitions gave fewer options. So everybody had to go to the same events. And when everyone came out at Great Meadow and threw down so many personal bests in the dressage, it just kept building from there. So it was like everyone was pushing each other to be even better. And that culminated in the national championship at Tryon, where we saw 4 sub 30 finishing scores in the national championship. So we've really worked on driving home the concept of zone analysis and trying to get our finishing scores into that sub 30 range, because that's realistically where we need to be competitive for medals. So to see those finishing scores coming to fruition, that was definitely a highlight for me.
Yeah, I agree. And they're really, really competitive scores, and absolutely ones that will be challenging, I guess, on the world stage, because this year you've not been able to send riders over into Europe as you would usually have done, and any Nations Cup teams or anything like that. So to be able to kind of take advantage of looking at the stats and the data through ECHO ratings makes a real difference and means that you're still able to sort of track that progress. Going into 2021, I guess there is still a degree of uncertainty surrounding next year. Certainly in the UK, things have been getting progressively worse, and the vaccine is a bit of a light at the end of the tunnel. But how do you cope with that in such an environment as a high performance program, Eric? Is it literally a case of it is going ahead, we will work everything we've got to that point?
Well, and the way we work is it is on until it's not. So, like, we can't wait and see if it's on and then try to hurry up and put it together. It is, in everyone's opinion, it is on. We are traveling, and we are setting up everything. So we're going to be super ready for Tokyo. So, I think there's no option on that one. You just have to have your mindset that it is going to happen. If it doesn't happen, then it doesn't. But I actually strongly believe it will happen. It's once again. Sometimes we have to like sort of pinch yourself. Are we just being very optimistic here? But it just feels like it. I have some friends in Japan as well, and they say that it's really quite positive there. Derek de Gracia, whose course is signing, he feels quite positive about the whole thing. So the vibe is good. And I think with the virus, people are learning that there is ways of living with it. And there is always going to be a vaccine as well that's going to be available for would have thought for all the Olympians. So I can definitely see there's a path forward and it will happen.
That is music to my ears, Eric. Music to my ears. I'm a happy girl, as I'm sure so many other people will, because it really is an absolute highlight. I mean, the Olympics comes around once every 4 years, and actually going into the next few years, we're going to have an Olympics, a WEG, a Pan American Games, and another Olympics all very quickly. Long-term plans. What is the end goal for you, Eric? I mean, I know obviously Tokyo 2021 is the immediate target, but how far ahead do you guys actually look?
Well, we were talking about the training list before, and this training list was, and I sort of briefly touched on it, it was very much when I spoke to the advisor group, like this is a... It's not just for the Olympics next year. We've got to think about the World Games because they're coming up the following year. But like when we finally put together the list, on this list of horses on the elite and pre-elite, 80% of them should still be able to go to Paris Olympics. So they're in the age group that is right, which means that if we look after the horses well and have good planning around it and get these horses to still be super competitive, because they will then be at maximum train with some of the oldest horses in that group that I'm talking about, it'll be 16. And they would have had all the experience and so on. And if we can keep rolling with that and keep developing that, then I think it will be even stronger. So, yeah, so the view is sort of set on all 4 championships that are coming up in the next 4 years. However, just talking, having this conversation around it, around like the next one, which is for us massive, is LA 2028. And Leslie and I, we're already working with the riders with their younger horses and so on. So we're not touching all the younger horses that could be LA horses, but we are working with a lot of the horses that could be LA horses already. So it is in the program. And every time I go to someone's place and they have a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old or a younger horse and so on, and I always count the years and say, yep, it'll be 12, it'll be 13, it'll be 14 years old by the time of LA Olympics. And And so that is definitely it's a conversation we have consistently, because we want to make sure that our owners understand that we, if we're going to buy horses, have the best horses for LA, then we need to be looking and buying them now, so we have the years to develop them. And I think it's probably been a bit of a shift. It's how I think generally, but it's been a shift in US culture now, that now more and more people are thinking the long-term plan. And I think everyone will benefit from that in the future.
Yeah, and it is a huge credit to not only yourselves, the riders, but also, as you said, the owners, who have that sort of forward-thinking attitude of, we want to be in this game and make a difference for years and years to come. Jenny, going into 2021, obviously it is all systems go, as we've said. What is the sort of the brief overview in terms of the key fixtures in your minds going into a Tokyo selection?
Right. We have three remaining selection trials in 2021. That's the five-star at Kentucky, Badminton five-star as well, and then also the four-star long at Jersey Fresh. So those are the final three, but really the main focus is in Kentucky, as that being our main selection trial. So we've been working very closely with the team there, who, you know, are very dedicated to moving forward. And it's been a really great partnership. They understand how critical that event is, not just for the horses and riders that are aiming for Tokyo, but for US eventing as a whole. So we're looking forward with optimism as far as what that will look like next year.
Oh, it's so exciting, because you really do feel that actually another year has really built that strength and depth, and very much gathering speed now into 2021. What is the aim, Eric? Can I ask you that? What would you class as a successful Olympics?
Yeah, it is a question I often get and so on. But like, I think in the end of the day, when you've been in the sport for a long time, you know that it is like being able to pull off three faces on the day just for one rider is a big ask. And then have three riders doing exactly the same thing, yeah, it is a really big ask. So I think the focus shouldn't be on the outcome, where we're going to end up. It's going to be about, like, are we best prepared? Have we done everything? Is every... not leaving any stones unturned, you know, like the whole philosophy, like we have to really nail all the bits and pieces. Because I think if we get all of that right, then the riders will arrive with confidence. And if you get riders to arrive with confidence and self-belief, then they will do exceptional things, or they're more likely to do exceptional things. So I think that is really, for me, the goal. And I think also, I think I got a little bit of a sense of it when we went to the Pan Ams last year. But it is like knowing the riders and horses intimately. And my first year at the World Games, I obviously didn't do that, have that, because I was only been in the game for 6 months here in the US. But like now, I'm starting to feel that in a different level. So I think having a little bit more in-depth knowledge about the horses and the riders, and making sure it's all prepared to tee, then I think we should be able to be proud of our team. They should be able to fight against the best.
Well, we cannot wait to cheer them on. Eric, Jenny, thank you both so much. Eric, happy Christmas in New Zealand.
Yeah, thank you, and same to you. And I actually love English Christmas more than New Zealand Christmas. It feels weird to eat turkey, and it's 30 degrees, this is Celsius, but like a summer hot day, and you eat turkey with gravy, and my God, it doesn't suit me. It works better in England.
No, it doesn't seem quite that. I'll be honest, it's blowing an absolute hoolie in the UK at the moment. It's very mild, very wet, and very windy, so it doesn't feel overly Christmassy, but yeah, I get that. Jenny, happy Christmas to you too.
Happy Christmas, Nicole.
And listeners, okay. happy Christmas to all of you as well. We hope that you have a really, really lovely holiday. Stay safe, and we will look forward to following the US team going into 2021 with the continuation of these Team Talk podcasts. But we have got lots more coming up for you on the USEA official podcast as well. So do stay tuned. But Jenny, Eric, thank you. Happy Christmas. Listeners, thank you for all of your support in 2020 as well. It's been an absolute pleasure. And we will be back to bring you lots more exciting podcasts in 2021. Thanks for listening to the USEA official podcast. If you have any suggestions or feedback, then we would love to hear from you.
Get in touch through any of our social media platforms at US Eventing, and don't forget to subscribe on your preferred podcast platform to make sure you don't miss an episode.